Con el under $3 menu de McDonald's, un sausage burrito es solo $1.50. Así que échale salsa picante o ketchup a tu sausage burrito con todo en McDonald's. Solo por tiempo limitado. Precios y participación pueden variar. Precios con entrega pueden ser más altos.
Hello, welcome to episode 5 of The Slab with Chels and Jim. I'm a Jim and...
I'm a Chels.
You're a Chels, baby.
I think what we need to do is explain why the audio might be a bit shit this episode. Only if it's a new listener, I don't want them to think it's always bad.
It's not always going to be this bad, guys.
Often good.
We've had some really great audio in the past. So this is probably... I mean, we've not listened to it back yet, obviously, because we're here doing it live and just existing. But if it is bad, it's because we're currently recording in Chels' place of work. Because we didn't have time to do it at one of our houses.
Don't worry about the ins and outs of it. Stop asking questions, guys.
If it's fine, it's fine. If it's terrible, we won't do it again, okay? Let's crack on. Chels, I've got a question for you.
Mm.
What would you do if you were driving along in a misty moor at night and a pair of hairy hands from nowhere grabs the wheel of the car you were driving? What would you do in that situation, hypothetically speaking?
I don't think you can drive in a moor. Isn't it just typically smushy?
You're driving on a road through a moor.
All right. What, are they coming in from the window? Are they coming in from the front? Are they coming in from behind?
Okay, they're disembodied hands that have just appeared on the wheel. There's no figure there. They're not attached to anything.
Oh,
it's just a pair of hairy hands out of nowhere. You feel the cold calluses on your skin of it. And it's trying to pull you off the road. What do you do?
I mean, what can you do?
What can you do in that situation?
Should I think of something more inventive?
No.
I'd fight, because I'm assuming that they've got no upper body strength.
That's true.
Because they're just floating there.
Yeah.
What are they using as leverage?
I don't know.
Is this a riddle? Is there an answer?
There is no solid answer to this, Chels. As you'll discover, as this podcast goes on, it is about the hairy hands of Dartmoor. Have you heard about this?
I've heard of the Beast of Bodmin, mm-hmm. Which in many
Not
ways...
That. Maybe he frequents all of the moors, just being weird.
Where's Dartmoor in relation? They're very close, but they're very far away.
Dartmoor
Not
is...
close.
Where is Dartmoor?
Plymouth. Exeter.
Okay.
Where's Bodmin?
Wales. Is it?
Well, they're not... Yeah, they're on the same
not close.
In area the, of land.
Yeah, in the same hemisphere.
There's no seas in the way.
That is true. There are no seas
Unless you
in
go
the
across
way.
The sea to get there.
That'd be a mad way to get there.
Well,
don't do that.
Not if you've got a boat.
Just take a road.
Take a road, take a train.
If you've got a lot of time on your hands and you've got a boat, maybe you've recently gone through a divorce, sure, do it.
What are we looking for there? Oh, we're just connecting the Beast of Bodmin.
What I'm trying to say is that this podcast is going to be about the hairy hands of Dartmoor.
Okay.
And it's another intriguing tale with not a discernible ending or any firm conclusion. So just to prepare you for that now as we go in.
I think that's the constant Chels and Jim theme though, isn't it? No real ending.
There's no answers, you know, that's why we're tackling the big myths.
But honestly, like, when is there ever an ending to the supernatural? Because if we were like, oh yeah, it was a ghost, we've worked it out now, then we would have ghosts.
Yeah.
There's always going to be doubt.
Imagine that world where ghosts are just, like, they're scientific fact. They're just part of society.
Like Harry Potter.
Oh, I saw a ghost last night. Oh, did you? What was it doing? Oh, it was just like taking its head off and being weird.
You might not even mention it if it was normal.
Yeah.
Because I don't tell you every time I see like a cat.
You can do though, Chels. I'm only a text away.
That's true. I'll start doing that. I try not to look at cats.
I was actually walking home quite late, maybe like 3 nights ago, and I was getting to the front door and I saw a cat with its back turned to me, just foraging around in the bushes. And when it turned and looked at me, it gave me the guiltiest look. I was like, babe, what are you up to down there? What's going on? There was nothing like, there's no mouse down there or anything.
He's having an affair with a fox, Jim. That's what's happening.
Do you reckon
there?
Waiting yeah. to meet and the fox hadn't shown up?
Is foxes more dog or cat?
Haven't we had this discussion before?
No, we talked about vixens.
No, I feel like we've definitely talked about fox, dog or cat.
No, we have not talked this
It's
talk.
More cat. It's more dog than cat.
What? No, you were almost right until you changed your answer.
It's more dog than cat. Okay.
Fox.
Yeah, think of a little, I don't know, a little chihuahua. That's a fox. That's like a fancy fox.
No, you just think of...
What's a chihuahua?
Fox has got a long nose, so it's, pardon me, more like a dog. I think because of the way that they move,
They've got quite dainty feline features.
Oh, wait, no, wolves are dogs, so maybe foxes are dogs. Are foxes related to wolves? Yeah, dogs seem right
there. I feel like a fox would bark rather than meow.
They do bark.
Yeah, so you wouldn't hear it like...
No, all right, we've debunked that.
But then a tiger roars, and that's a kind of big cat, a big fancy cat.
Yeah, but a roar isn't a bark.
It's more of a bark than a cat.
It's more of a moo. It's more of a moo than a cat. Roars are more moos than meows.
It's more of a moo than a meow?
What? Yeah, a roar.
It all began on the dark, barren abyss of the East Moor in Dartmoor in June 1921. A doctor who worked in the nearby prison was riding his motorbike across the moor near Archerton Farm, as presumably he did regularly. It was just something to do. It got him out of the house. Oh, what are you doing tonight? Listening to the wireless? Thinking about the war? No, I'm going out on the hog, baby. Let's fire up. Fuck you, Scrabble. Which probably hasn't even been invented yet. It wasn't just him on the motorbike. His children were there with him, riding alongside in a sidecar, which is quite a cute image. Sort of like, it's a bit Wallace and Gromit, isn't it? I can imagine us in a motorbike and sidecar, Chels.
Who would be driving? I don't need to ask. I don't need to ask.
Well, obviously me, because I always drive.
Yeah, and I can't drive.
You'd be there with your little goggles on.
Sort of like the dog images that you see.
Your hair would be like trailing flapping, behind, like flappy ears. Dog ears. Yeah. Aww. We'll I'd occasionally that. Throw you a little dog biscuit.
I feel like the reason that you've chosen this story is because I want our photo shoot to be on a slab in the morgue and you want it to be in a sidecar. So you've gone, if I get a sidecar story in, then I've got some clout and leverage.
Fuck your morgue. You can't just go walking into a morgue, Chels.
It wouldn't be a real morgue.
Imagine that it would be a logistical nightmare.
It wouldn't be a real morgue.
Where are we going to find a fake morgue?
Ask a photographer. No, we just need fake metal, real metal that looks like a slab.
Where are we going to find that?
At the Reconstruction Constitution Yard. The Architectural Salvage Yard.
We don't have time
to go. The junkyard.
Well, look, as an aside, if you've got any ideas for where you want a Chelsea and Jim photo shoot, email us, jimandchelsea@midlandsmagic.com. No, jimandchelsea@gmail.com.
We haven't got our own email server.
I'd love it to be jimandchelsea@midlandsmagic.com.
Or jim@chelsea.com.
Ooh,
we'll make that happen. Or it'd be chelsea@gmail.com, wouldn't it?
We're on the moor. It's night time. It's 1921. Suddenly, the kids saw their dad wrestling with the handlebars of the motorcycle before losing control and hurtling off the road, crashing into the cold black fog of the moor. Before crashing, he shouted, "Jump!" to his children, who launched themselves out of the sidecar to safety. Their father, however, was unable to escape and was killed. Over the coming weeks, several more crashes would occur, one involving an army captain who again was on a motorbike but survived and afterwards reported that invisible hands had seized upon his hands, forcing the machine into the turf. As more unexplained accidents occurred, one witness confidently described seeing a large, hairy hand grabbing the wheel, attempting to drive them to their death. Any questions so far, Chels, on that?
Yeah, how's he seeing invisible hands? He described invisible hands.
You can feel an invisible hand, Chels. If you close your eyes now...
It's because I've seen your hand already and my brain's going, his hand's coming towards me, I can't see it anymore, but I'm assuming.
What else would it be?
Well, I don't know, Jim. Let's play
invisible.
That game.
Like invisible hands is pretty high up on my list.
So what was it? I don't know, but I saw an invisible man. No, you didn't. That's a lie already. I know it's a lie.
Yeah, but you can feel an invisible man. Wrap him up in bandages, you can see
him. Can you, though? Because people say that. But where's that logistic coming
from? Well, yeah,
it
must
from?
Be, otherwise it's just air.
But
if you can't feel him...
Is an invisible man a human man that you can't see, or is he something else that looks like a man?
No humans are invisible, Chels.
Jimmy, if you're going to take that tone with me throughout this podcast experiences, we're not going to get very far.
It's a man, a ghostly man, that is also invisible.
He's not a ghost.
But you can feel him. Probably got cold, like cold hands.
I imagine he has no temperature. Like it's,
how
like
can something have no temperature?
It's room temperature.
What kind of room are you in, though? This
hey,
room's
how
freezing.
How can something have no temperature?
It can't.
Can something have... Because temperature's energy and everything has energy, right?
Yeah. What's the temperature in a vacuum?
Cold.
What if it's a hot vacuum? What do you think about their large, hairy hand?
Well, again, we're saying like a couple of people have had this experience. The dad was killed and he didn't report anything. The army man said invisible hands. That's dubious to me. And one witness said hairy hands. Yeah. So really, I think it could, like, it's a stretch to say it's the hairy hand at this point in the story.
But the kids saw him wrestling with the
That's
motorbike.
That's not what you said.
They
did. He was wrestling with the motorbike. That could just be Dan's drunk again, or we hit a patch of ice.
Or maybe. He's a drunk driver. Because actually, back in 1921, that probably wasn't even legal.
No, it was
probably perfectly normal to be totally twatted before you got on your little motorbike and sidecar.
Because maybe it was weird then to drive a motorbike, so everyone had to be a bit drunk to have the courage to do so, because it was unusual.
Yeah.
Like when you get drunk to fuck somebody new, get a bit drunk, get on
get
your
on
sidecar.
The motorbike.
Yeah.
Yeah, just to psych yourself up. Dutch courage.
Dutch courage for that.
I'd definitely have to get drunk before I got in a sidecar. That'd be terrifying.
Who's driving?
Anyone. I wouldn't trust anyone to drive it. That's the point. Unless they're... Maybe... Which one's the dog in Wallace and Gromit?
Gromit.
Wallace. I'd trust him to drive a sidecar and motorbike.
He's made of plasticine. He would absolutely melt near the sun.
He's very responsible.
He went to
Actually,
the
moon. Actually, he's not.
To eat
because
the
it's
cheese.
He built a fucking rocket, though. I'm sorry, don't go on about the fact that he ate a little bit of cheese. He built a fully functioning rocket in his garage.
Didn't he die?
No.
He did die.
No, he didn't.
Or did they do a sad memorandum of Wallace and Gromit when his voice actor died?
Oh, maybe that.
Yeah, maybe possibly it was that. His pants hanging up and Wallace and Gromit looking a bit sad.
Oh.
No more cheese, Gromit.
I mean,
he could get cheese on his own.
He was always old Wallace. He was old when I used to watch Wallace and Gromit in the 90s.
That's true. We didn't really think about the anachronistic.
But then also, he is plasticine.
Yeah. I mean, he had a lot of faults. But he had a good heart.
But don't ask him to make a pair of mechanical trousers, because that's going to end in tears. In just 2 years, there were 5 unexplained accidents on that patch of road. But it was an incident involving a caravan that really compounded the legends of the ghostly hands of Dartmoor. In 1923... a woman sleeping in a caravan by the side of the road alleged that the hands had attempted to crawl in through the open window. However, on making the sign of the cross, the hands disappeared. So just to recap there, just in case you missed that, this woman's in a caravan and she sees a hairy hand by the window trying to get in. So what she thinks to do, rather than scream or shout for the police, she makes the sign of the cross and that freaks it out or scares it off or makes it disappear.
Why is it religious hands?
Exactly. If I was in the caravan, the last thing I'd think is that this is some kind of devil demon.
Yeah, I mean, I've seen a lot of movies, I've read some books, any depiction of the devil and hell, etc. And never just sort of fluffy gloves. That's not one of the known demons. I'm not doing
werewolf.
A crucifix. Yeah, but he's got a body too. And he's not from hell.
Maybe he fell over outside the caravan and he was trying to get attention.
If he had a body, I'd be much happier with this story.
Nobody reported. The hands disappeared. But it just seemed like if you're in... It's all affecting slightly comedic novelty vehicles. Motorbike and sidecar. Caravan. Just avoid... if you've got a fucking three-wheeler, don't ride through Dartmoor. Because you're going to get handed by the hairy hands.
I'm surprised that so many vehicles existed in the 1920s. This is educational for me.
I didn't know there were caravans in the 1920s. Right. That's such a good point.
But they did have the carnival then, so maybe she was a carnival lady.
Maybe it was one of the freaks from the freak show had escaped.
But again, it's not just going to be arms.
But I think maybe she's not... What she thinks she's seen isn't what she's actually seen. Is she sure it just wasn't a bit of bush?
Also, I've got another question. If you stood behind me and grabbed the steering wheel, I would only see your hands. But logically, I'm going to go, there's probably a man attached. Is this object permanence with the kids? She saw a hand at the window, she just assumes it ends where the rest of it she can't see is.
Yeah.
Is that what this is happening?
Maybe. There's no one, yeah. How hairy is the hand? This is what I want to know at this point.
Well, do they have their photographs in...
Yeah, she's not. She's too busy making the sign of the cross.
That's
she's not
true.
Getting the Polaroid out.
She's got her hands busy.
She did say it was clawing at the window. So in my head, it is one of those, shitty Halloween costume gloves. The really terrible fake fur, little rubber nails on it.
All of these people, is this a story that went round? And then, because I'm used to be previously with, the Highgate Vampire, for example. It was publicised in the media, and then other people began to see it because it was in this collective conscious. at this time, had they heard about it down the grapevine? Was the rumor mill on like overdrive? Oh, the hands of Bodmore.
Well, it was Dartmoor, similar. Yeah. Well, it was reported way back in 1921, as soon as the first accident happened.
What was the circulation of newspapers like in 1921?
Probably massive. What else are you going to do?
Well, I mean, like, if it was the Dartmoor newspaper, like, the local Exeter newspaper isn't going to get out further next
It was in the Daily Mail.
It was
it went national. It was in the Daily Mail.
Oh, boy.
So, I'll carry... Well, it is worth saying, actually, at this point, that Dartmoor is an area where lots of people experience, like, weird, ghostly things. Lots of people say that they've been pixied there, or pixie-lated.
Pixelated?
Do you know what that is? No, pixie-lated.
Have they been cursed?
I can't believe you don't know what pixieing is, Charles.
Well, I feel like it sounds like a gay pastime.
Yes, it is.
Is it?
No, it's not. Maybe it is. Well, I mean, it's been disorientated by sparkly mist, which does sound like a bit gay.
Okay, I slept over on Dartmoor one night, and yeah, I became disoriented by a sparkly mist. That was a car headlights driving by. If a car drives by towards you in the dark of night, that will disorient you, because you haven't got a light going that way.
But was it sparkly, though?
Well, it was lights.
Sparkly mist. Well, maybe that's what people are... I read this article in The Guardian, and this person said he was walking through, and suddenly he was just enveloped in this like haze, this sparkly haze, and he didn't know where he was, but he felt really euphoric.
I didn't feel euphoric, but that was my second incident of trying to glass somebody.
Right. On a moor?
Yeah.
Why were you glassing people,
Jim,
on it?
I'm being pixied. I'm on the moor where lots of strange things happen. It could be the beast, it could be the hairy hands. I don't know. So what am I going to do when the headlights are coming towards me? I mean, I think it's probably some working class teenagers. Mm. Out to attack us. So I smash another bottle, because we were drinking, you know.
Self-defense.
Yeah, you don't go and sleep over on Dartmoor without alcohol.
No.
So I smash the bottle of vodka, and I walk up to the car in the headlights. I can't see what's in the car, but all they can see is a woman coming out of the trees with a smashed bottle of vodka. And this is when I was with Ali, so I'm also, like, there's like a very thin, lithe, emo boy with me. And then they just slowly backed away, and then they drove, because they came over, I think, to intimidate us, because we were there, we had a fire.
Yeah.
But then they backed away. Later on in that same night, I put my hand in my bag and cut my hand open on the vodka bottle. I've still got the scar from it.
So you held on to it? You just kept the half bottle in your bag?
Well,
just in case
it in my bag.
Later.
No, because I didn't want to litter. I'm not going to leave, like, broken glass over
that.
Dark.
You'll go and glass some strangers, but you're not going to litter. Principles.
I care about Mother Nature. I don't care about fucking Trevor from Exeter, Plymouth Uni, whatever it is.
Sure, I'll leave a few bodies scattered over the moor, but a crisp packet, absolutely not. Pick that up. Maybe this is how the hairy hands came about.
Maybe I did better in the witch elm.
Maybe, ooh.
In a previous
Find
life.
Find out next time.
I would love... Okay, what would your dream previous life be?
Pirate.
You answered that really quickly.
Yeah, and then maybe...
And I'm surprised by your answer,
No, I
honestly.
Don't mean pirate. King.
I feel like that's your worst...
King.
Wait, that's Jim's worst one.
I just really... When I was little, if ever I got to dress up as anything, I'd always want to dress up as a pirate. So my mum, like... Because, you know, it was 90s. My mum had a pair of, like, cowboy boots. Pointy cowboy boots. Because they were popular in the 90s.
I mean,
Shania Twain was fucking
lot.
Massive. So I would put on the cowboy boots, like pair of jeans.
And you had
like
to come out to your mum.
One of my mum's big like fancy belts. And I'd wear, my nan used to have this blouse that had like that had like a frilly collar. So I'd wear that, and like it had really big arms. I mean, thinking back to it, I look nothing like a fucking pirate.
Did you have eyeliner on? Oh, yeah,
I didn't wear eyeliner, Charles.
Pirates did.
But I did have, like, a really nice hat. And I used to have a feather in it. So, yeah, and I had an eye patch as well. Loved all that. I used to pretend to have one leg, a little stump leg.
Couldn't do that these days. That would be...
I wouldn't want to do it these days, Charles, because I've learnt the errors of my ways.
That's a good question. Right, if you, like, that girl that dressed up in traditional Japanese formal attire to go to her prom, She wore like that dress that was very, was it Japanese or Chinese? That's terrible, I don't know, but I don't know.
I don't know what you, was it like a geisha type thing?
Yeah, so she, I think it was Japanese, and she dressed up in a, to go to prom in this really nice Japanese dress because she was like, it has an official title that I don't know.
Yeah.
And she just tweeted like off to prom, then the internet fucking went in on her like, oh, you cultural appropriation bitch, like, oh, white, God. Like, you're rich, you don't know anything, you're privileged. Then there was, this time there was also a lot of the internet that was like, actually, just chill out. Yeah. She's doing it because she thinks it's a beautiful dress. And then a lot of people from that culture was like, I like actually appreciate that you thought that our culture is beautiful enough to wear it to your prom.
Yeah.
So it's like, it was a bit more divided than normal. But pirates. If you went as a pirate, is that cultural appropriation for pirates?
I don't know, because obviously there are modern day pirates.
They don't look like adamant, though.
But they don't tend to wear the same kind of outfit. Very few cowboy boots on modern-day pirates. And I don't know, maybe some of them have eye patches.
Do pirates ever have eye patches in cowboy boots? Why have they all got one leg?
I don't know. I think there was probably one pirate in history, maybe, who had one leg, and then just mythology took over, and that was what a pirate became in the public consciousness. But the pirates, there's no pirate culture now, so I don't think there would be anybody to say you are appropriate in our culture. And also, I guess, like, as a culture, they've never really been subjugated.
Well, I don't know if they're not, like,
prosecuted, sure.
Yeah.
But they were never really part of society. I don't know.
What about I am the captain now?
What?
I am the captain now.
What are you doing?
The pirates from Tom Hanks owns a ship. What's that called? Captain Hook. What's it called? It's called,
I don't
Captain.
Know. I've not seen it. No, it's not called that.
That would make sense, though. It'd be a good title. Tom Hanks. He plays so many roles where he drives a big, like, vehicle.
Castaway.
No.
Captain Phillips.
Captain. He is Captain.
Captain Phillips.
Yeah, because those are pirates.
Yeah.
They're not the flamboyant kind.
No, and I think maybe that's something that they should try and introduce.
But
I think if they can, like, they need better branding, modern day pirates, because they've got the name pirate. It's a great name. Run with that.
Name.
There's a real heritage there. But I feel like the rest of their imagery just doesn't quite match up
to
it.
Or maybe, like, pirates aren't the same all over the
Get
world.
Get a parrot.
Like, yeah. Somalian pirates, different to, like, Atlantic pirates.
Yeah. No, I was reading the other day, Nigerian pirates on the coast. The reason these people have become pirates is because there was a massive oil spill on the coast. So previously they were fishermen, but because of this oil spill that wasn't cleaned up by BP, British Petroleum.
Fuck BP.
They were led to have they've got no other income, so they just had to turn to crime. They had to become pirates because that's their income source just gone away.
A pirate's just a highwayman of the sea?
Yeah, kind of. Just like robbing stuff from other boats, I think.
So, because, I mean, I don't associate it with that. I associate it with finding treasure. But who's putting all this treasure everywhere?
Well, they have to get the treasure first, don't they?
Oh, it's pirate treasure.
So they
treasure.
Would get the treasure from, like, the rich boats full of treasure, and then they'd hide the treasure.
The treasure boat.
I don't know where they're getting chests from.
True.
I honestly don't know where you'd also, even start
treasure,
buying a chest.
Why is treasure a thing? Treasure could be anything. Like, I treasure things, and my treasures could be, like, my dog's hair.
Yeah.
Like, I have clippings of my dog's hair. Like, that's my treasure. But it's not treasure. Like, you imagine it, like, glistening with After Effects little glowy moments. Mm. And, like, there's rubies.
Mm.
I don't want a ruby.
Yeah.
But treasure isn't a thing.
There's not a treasure really knocking about now, is there? Jewelry? I guess jewelry is treasure.
But treasure doesn't, like, treasure is just what we imagine it to be. But, like, they weren't really stealing treasure, they were just stealing gold doubloons.
Doubloons?
They were.
Bullion.
Wait, what's the difference between a bullion and a doubloon? I mean, they're different things.
A doubloon is a coin, isn't it? Is it?
Also, it's a bullion.
No, bullion is just like a measure of gold, isn't it? It's just a way. A bullion's just a way of storing
what's
gold.
What's that club called? Bullion. Bullion.
If you like a lot of chocolate on your biscuit, join our club. A more recent occurrence of the hairy hands involved a young man in the early 1960s. He was travelling from Plymouth to Chagford. That didn't sound real. But did not reach his destination. He was found dead underneath his upturned car on the same stretch of road. The car and his body were both examined and no conclusion could be drawn for the cause of death or the accident. In 1962, a visitor to Dartmoor, Florence Warwick, was riding along the road and wanted to stop and check her location. So she stopped the car to look at a map. And then, in her words, this is a quote, people, "I looked up and saw a pair of huge, hairy hands pressed against the windscreen. I tried to scream, but I couldn't. I was frozen with fear." What do you think of that, Charles? Pardon me. Oops.
One of those is just a car crash.
But how you crash in the car in the middle of a moor? It's just a road. So there's nothing else there.
So what if a deer jumped in front of you? What if it's a bunny?
You don't get deer.
What if it's a rooster? What if it's a pheasant? Any sort of wild fowl, flora or fauna, not flora, just fauna. Like, that's
But I didn't
silly.
Think you got a fauna on a moor because it's just like...
Loads of fauna.
It's just vast and empty. Where's a deer living?
There's trees near the moor.
I thought the point of a moor is that it was just empty.
Yeah, but then there's like trees around the outskirts. You're not going to get no animals. What about the burrowed animals like badgers? They're all over the moor.
A badger's not causing a car crash.
He would be if he was on the road.
Actually,
and he definitely
actually,
would if he was driving.
I saw a badger in real life recently.
What?
And they're fucking massive.
They're big boys.
They're big boys.
Big feet and hands.
Bigger than... bigger than a cat.
They are bigger than cats.
Like a small dog.
What, bigger than some dogs?
You're bigger than some, she's washing up the alley next door, isn't she? Fucking hell.
Yeah, you can't get the staff these days.
Maybe it's the hairy hands.
So, one of these is a car crash. At this point, you're just attributing any accident in the area to hairy hands when there's no one to report on it. Sure, Florence.
No, I fully bought into the hairy hands.
What, for the dead man? Just sort of a car crash, you know, it's hands.
Yeah, I think so.
Well, you're a gullible fool.
Florence said, "I looked up and saw a pair of huge hairy hands pressed against the windscreen. I tried to scream, but I couldn't." What would that be?
A badger.
She's not... A badger doesn't look like a pair of huge hairy hands.
If the badger, she'd hit the badger, it flipped up, it landed on her car, and they're on the wind... His little paddy paws are on his...
Yeah.
They're huge hairy hands.
Do you not think she'd mention the big badger face in the middle?
No, not Florence.
Fucking Florence.
But they've got black faces at night time. You might not see that
they've
if it wasn't...
They've got white stripes on them.
Not all badgers. Hashtag not all badgers. When was this Florence one?
1962.
Again, could have been smoking the wacky tobacco.
There was a lot of it about.
There was in those. I don't trust
Florence. A doob. Maybe she just smoked a big fat doob.
She was on the doob train.
I don't know. I'd quite like to see a pair of huge hairy hands. I'd just love to see something in my life really weird and unexplained.
Come to my new cellar.
I can't wait to come to your new cellar, Charles. And yes, that is a euphemism. I don't think I've ever seen anything unexplainable before. But maybe that's just because I'm quite a logical person.
You believe it that this man was killed by big hands?
That's true.
I don't know. I think that I haven't. But this is another thing that I consider is maybe I've seen normal things that weren't normal, I don't know. Like, a man walks by. That's normal. But I didn't see him disappear after I looked away.
Yeah.
It could have been a ghost.
Yeah. Have you ever seen... What is the weirdest thing you've ever seen? Like, the weirdest sight in real life?
I haven't seen anything weird ever before. Also, I've got a bad memory, so it might come to me in, like, 4 days.
When I first moved to London, I saw a woman having a poo on the street. And that was really...
I wish I'd seen
really
that.
Really disturbed me. That's so memorable. It's so ingrained. That probably happened 7 years ago. But the image of it is so vivid still in my head.
But I bet
and
you
I think it will
it
be
wrong.
Till the day I die.
You remember it
no.
wrong? No, of course you are, because that's memory, and that's fine.
No, I'm not remembering it wrong.
It's nothing to be ashamed of. If you
she was in between two bins on Warren Street in central London, and she was side on to me, and I'd never, sorry, this is really graphic, but I'd never before seen a poo coming out of a bum.
Oh, I've only seen it on those videos we watched.
Yeah.
Which was later on.
Yeah, and guys, we watched the videos for a video, it's not just what we do when we hang out. Well, it kind of is. But in real life, I'd never seen it.
I've never seen a real life poo before.
Yeah, of course, because you don't see your own.
No, and I wouldn't look at it if I could.
I would.
No.
Well.
If I saw my own poo, I definitely wouldn't be able to be intimate with another person ever again, because I'd feel sorry for them. Like, that's just something you can't reconcile with yourself.
I think that's why we've evolved to not be able to see it, for that very reason.
No!
That'd be the end of
Animals
humanity.
Animals can't see their own poo.
Yeah.
Name one animal apart from a giraffe.
That can't?
Yeah.
Or that can?
That can. They can.
I don't know what point you're trying to make. I think we agree, but you think we disagree.
You think we've evolved to not be able to see our own pooping, but animals can't either. Like, I don't think there was a time when we could see our own buttholes.
Yeah, we all came from prawns and they can see it because they're all coiled up.
But they, do they poop?
Yeah.
All right, well, just normal animals for a long time haven't been able to see their own poop.
Yeah, and that's why we've progressed.
The snakes poop.
Yeah. I saw its bum yesterday.
It's got a bum?
Yeah.
So two little tiny snake cheeks. I love it if it's snakes like a human ended in bums. To the point.
Yeah, it was horrible. So I held it. So yesterday I held an 11-foot albino python. Don't ask questions. It just happened. I've just got such a crazy life. and he was like, do you want to hold it? And I was like, no. But then I thought, actually, this is going to make a great photo. So yeah, sure, go on. Massive. It was so girthy. It was probably about that wide because it's 11 foot long. You can't see it at home, but I'm making a gesture with my hand that's signifying how girthy it is.
Touch your thumb and your forefingers together at the tips.
About as wide as a human neck, an adult neck.
A human neck. They've got necks too.
If you've got a Cuban person next to you, just put your hands around their neck. Ask them first.
They haven't got any history of PTSD with that. Were they Cubans in Breaking Bad when he put the head on the turtle? No, they're all Mexicans. I don't know.
Not thought about that for a while. Anyway, it was around my neck and it felt like a big muscly arm around my neck, which I quite liked. And then its tail started going up my sleeve, all the way up my sleeve, up to my armpit. There was this snake tail up my sleeve. It was horrible.
Well, all of a snake is a tail.
Yeah, but it tapers off, doesn't it?
Yeah, but where do you draw the line between body and tail?
I would say 2/3 down, then that becomes tail.
You can't just arbitrarily pick.
Actually, no, I'd say where the bum is. Anything south of the bum is a tail.
Our tailbones are above our bum, though.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, I made a great point. Well, I started speaking, I didn't think I was going to, but it came out really well.
A doctor's car stopped dead on the road at the same spot with no apparent mechanical problems. He was not hurt, but was puzzled by the legend.
How did he know it was the same spot?
And also, being puzzled by the legend isn't worthy of being included in the story.
Like, was he only puzzled after that? Because he Googled it, he didn't Google it. Like, was that like just part of his life generally? He was puzzled by the legend.
He just had an interest in it. He could have stalled the car. Like, the car thing could have been literally anything. She was attacked, but also was puzzled by the legend of the Highgate Vampire.
Yeah.
Not related. However, another doctor survived an incident in 1979 when his car was forced into a ditch by a powerful force that took over control of the vehicle. So it seems like whatever it is doesn't like doctors.
I've solved it. It's wind.
It's wind?
It's the moors. Do you know how blustery the moors get?
I've never been on a moor.
Incredibly blustery. That's going to blow stuff over. It's going to make you maybe lose control of your vehicle. Like, especially really powerful and back in the day when vehicles were like lighter and weaker. And if it's night time where you don't really know what's happening, that could blow leaves or a branch or something.
Oh, leaves. Yeah. Maybe the hairy hand is a big leaf. An oak tree leaf.
More fun.
Because actually, an oak tree leaf does look a bit like a hand.
A palm. That's just... It's actually the flora. I was wrong. It's not the fauna. It's the flora.
The bloody flora.
It's wind and flora. It's a shit bagel.
I'll say that's
guys, I don't know where you are, but we've got a brand of butter that's called Flora in England.
Yeah. Probably cut that bit out. The last contact with the hands was made in 1970 when a truck driver reported that one hand crossed his windscreen. No recent sightings have been made.
Because since then we've known it was leaves.
Is it? I mean, I guess a leaf once could look like
could
a hairy
leaf,
hand.
Could be leaf, could be branch. Could be twiggles.
Twiglets? Could be twiglets, actually.
Twiglets.
Could be a glove.
Could be anything that's blowing about. Who knows what's out there? It's the breeze and it's the bracken on the wind.
Yeah, but that would explain it touching the windscreen. But when have you ever had a leaf grab your steering wheel?
That's the car from the wind sort of like losing control. Very strong winds. And it's not the steering wheel, it's the vehicle, and he's like fighting to turn it back. You don't know. In that moment, you're probably going to think something different. Have you seen Pocahontas, yes or no?
Yes.
Paint with all the colours of the wind. During that song, there's a lot of leaves in the wind.
Mm.
Imagine that on a wider, more drastic. You've got your answer.
Maybe it was Bracken, because that looks a bit hairy.
It could be any of the above. If it was like New Mexico in the 1800s, I'd say maybe it was a tumbleweed.
Mm.
It's not, but it could be. What I'm just saying is there's stuff out there. It could even be, if it's hairy, all of the bunnies and all of the badgers, like, they shed their little hairs and they probably, like, gather up, like, the hair, like my hair does on my floor. All gathers in the corner.
Yeah,
imagine,
but it doesn't turn... No,
hair.
Come on.
What?
You're saying leaves, okay, maybe there's something in leaves. Although a lot of these accidents happened in the summer. There aren't many leaves floating about in the summer. But it's not a badger's hair. It's not a badger's had a haircut and a little mini tornado.
Well, is that where you draw the fucking line? But now you're like, oh, it can't be a badger with a side shave.
No, you're saying it's a bundle of badger hair. You're saying it's a badger toupee.
Birds collect hair.
No, they don't.
They do for their nests.
Yeah.
Not just as a pastime. they use it to support their young. A bird's nest flops off in the gusts. Oh, that's on the windshield. That's a hairy mess. Bird's nest. I think we've solved it, Jim.
Well, some people say that the accidents are as a result of a camber in the road.
What's that one?
I think it's a it's a slight one of them.
A tilt. Just say tilt, guys.
Yeah, tilt. A tilt in the road. In Supernatural Dartmoor by Michael Williams, there's a story told by journalist and author Rufus Endell. He claimed that while driving near Postbridge on an unstated date, a pair of hands gripped the driving wheel and I had to fight for control. He managed to avoid a crash and the hands disappeared as inexplicably as they had come. However, he requested that Williams not publish the story until after his death for fear of ridicule. What do you make of that?
I think he's worried about being ridiculed about calling it a driving wheel. I don't know. If he doesn't even know what the parts of his car are called, does he really know what's grabbing them?
Oh, I'll just get the driving wheel.
A lot of these people I don't trust in the first place, so I think they would get confused about a leaf.
Well, Charles, I've got to be honest, you've really shot down my hairy hands theory.
I'm just glad...
I like that we're at the stage of the podcast now where there's no messing about.
5 episodes in, market solved.
It's not hairy hands.
Finally solved a case.
It's just a bit of badger hair.
We're...
It was dropped by a pesky pigeon.
We're essentially detectives now.
Yeah.
We started off as podcasters. Well, we didn't. We're still not.
I think I'd be a really good detective.
I'd love to be a detective. I was Googling how to become a detective the other day. But honestly,
do you have to be a police for ages first?
Yeah, you can't just start at Zodiac.
Ugh.
You have to, like, do a lot of admin first.
Nah.
You don't get paid that much at the beginning of the police career.
100k a year or Jimmy's not getting out of bed. Well, let's recap.
Oh, good.
The hairy hands. We don't think it is actually hairy hands. We think it's probably just like a bit of tilt in the road and maybe a leaf slash bit of badger hair that's hit the windscreen.
Could be any hair. I don't want it to specifically be badgers. Maybe that's where all the human hair collects. It's got to go somewhere.
Probably to the moor.
Yeah. Like, you know how in the middle of the ocean there are islands of plastic? Maybe in the middle of Dartmoor there's islands of hair.
Well, it's somebody's job on the tube to go round and just picking up the hair off the tracks.
Yeah, that's awful.
So much hair down there.
And I know that just from living in my house and my hair everywhere.
And your house isn't even that windy. The tube, very windy at times. Are you going to clean up the hair before you move house?
I don't know, I might leave it as a present. Maybe they'll think they're being haunted.
They might clone you. What I like about your flat, Chels, is that pretty much ever since you've lived there and I've been coming round to visit, the light in the bathroom has never worked.
No, 4 years of that.
So you have to put your iPhone torch on to have a wee, or just wee in the dark.
Yeah.
Your shower things fell off, so you now have to turn on the shower with a pair of pliers.
That one's only 2.5 years, Jim.
And if you do scan around the bathroom with the iPhone torch...
Don't do that. Don't look around.
A lot of black mould.
So much black mould.
Serious black mould problem in Charles'
That's
house.
Why I had to move.
It's like fucking Voldemort on the walls.
It's awful. It's a health hazard.
Definitely.
And part of it's me. No, well, I mean, yeah. But I mean, there's nothing I can do to stop damp.
No.
Like, it's not just an aesthetic, like, surface level. That's in the woods.
That's a fundamental. It's gone too far.
Yeah. So I'm moving out. I'm leaving my problems behind. You can't run away from your problems. You can if it's damp.
You can if you've got money. Just throw, as I always say, just throw money at any problem you have. And if you have got some spare money and you want to support
spare money.
The slab, we would really love that because we love our Patreon supporters. They're just the best.
Also, when Jim said he's not getting out of bed for less than 100 grand a year, don't take that to heart about supporting
Patreon. I don't, guys. I don't earn that much money.
Also, remember how Chelsea has lived with no light in a bathroom and mould for 4 years?
Yeah.
And I have to turn my shower on with a spanner.
That's need to buy Chelsea a new spanner.
My one is rusty, but my new flat has a shower that works. And light in there.
I don't think you'll like it. I think you'll take the light bulb out.
I'm not going to turn the light on, but it has a window, so it's not going to get as damp.
Chelsea just showed me a video of her new flat, which is like really nice and got big windows and lots of light. And you were just like, yeah, it won't be that light when I live there. I'm going to cover those windows straight up.
I'm going to put my bedroom in the dark room.
Well,
that was a podcast.
That was the podcast. If I was just checking our emails. That's why I was distracted then. We've not had any. So if you want to email us, you can. It's jimandchels@gmail.com. Send us an email, because I'd like to read out emails in the podcast. I think that would be fun.
Me too. We don't get them.
So send us one. Anything. Just tell us what you're doing. Tell us about yourself and we'll turn that into content.
Thanks for listening. See you next week.
If the world were like a Sleep Number mattress, everything would adapt for your comfort. Your coffee would never get cold. Your flight would always be on time. And your mattress would always respond to you and your unique sleep needs. Sleep Number mattresses are designed to respond to your body and shift with your changing life, helping you fall asleep faster and stay asleep longer. To experience a whole new world of comfort, visit a Sleep Number store or go to sleepnumber.com. Sleep Number, to a good life's sleep.